It always has been a precious number to my heart. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. I praise the Lord for this day, for his marvelous grace, bringing us to this hour that he's brought us. I know sitting there and listening, I just was made to say over and over again, who is sufficient for this work? Man is so insignificant. But then it God is sufficient. I found it so. And I rejoice, and I rejoice. I know when they asked me this morning if I would accept, I told them I had no other choice. I know the Lord dealt with my heart over weeks, last few weeks on my job, and I believe he made my job just as miserable as can be. I was the most uncomfortable individual that ever lived. I couldn't do a thing right. And I believe if I went back to work, I believe they'd fire me. I'm not saying I won't go back to work, but as far as I have surrendered that job in the hands of the Lord, I have. And like this song says, everything I count but loss. For what? For that love that's so amazing, so divine, it demands my soul, my life, my all. I don't know how much longer the Lord may allow me to live, but I want to give my life the gospel. I never can do enough. He's done for me. There's nothing else worth living for. As far as I'm concerned, he hemmed me in salvation, called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me. And then the next greatest opportunity to call me into the ministry to proclaim what he's done for me. It's not I, but Christ. And I live because he lives. I know my flesh just trembled today. It just trembled. Fearful, you might call it. And I was telling my wife, I said, you know, I'm experiencing somewhat like our pastor's experience and somewhat like Paul did. He was in fear. He was shipwrecked. He went in nakedness and cold and hunger. Of course, we're living in a different time now. God's been merciful and good to us to provide the means now for us. But still in all, we live in the flesh and is made to tremble, made to be fearful because of our enemies, because of our own depraved nature, because of the opposition, the flesh is just made to tremble. You can't help it. We still have that humanity with us. But I praise the Lord that he is our strength. He is the strength of our salvation. He is the rock of ages. He is our Lord, and what a lovely Lord he is. And so I stand here in this pulpit tonight only because of the grace of God that's made the difference. I know I asked someone tonight, I said, why isn't that they didn't choose you to preach? Why did they call you? People, if I could have gotten out of it, I would have gotten out of it. I certainly would have. And if the Lord would just withdraw all of this from me, this commission tonight, I thank Him for it. But the Lord's been good to us, hasn't He? He's been gracious. He's been loving and kind. I want us to turn to the first chapter. I believe it is 1 Corinthians. I'm on tape, huh? Okay, thank you. Meditating upon this chapter here this evening, in thinking of what the Lord's done for me, done for you, and what He's going to do for His elect, for those whom He will call to salvation in Christ, and thinking that, you know, the Lord, He's gracious to any individual, all types of individuals, whether you're educated, whether you had any schooling at all, whether you're poor or you're rich, the gospel reaches down and it does its work in a peculiar way in the hearts of men, bringing them to Christ. Look at that 18th verse of that first chapter. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Now I'm just musing in the word tonight. I'm not going to keep you too long, but hope that this will bless your heart as we meditate in this chapter. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Or the preaching of the cross is to them that are perishing foolishness. And that's true. And that's why they call us a bunch of fools. And to them, we're following a foolish gospel. And we're listening to foolish preaching. That's because of the blindness of their own heart, of their understanding, that they're still in their depraved nature. But the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. And I praise the Lord. It is the power. In other words, it's dynamite in the hands of God. The power of the gospel. And that's why we stress that unless the Holy Spirit accompanies the word and puts dynamite behind the word is void. It will not accomplish anything. But the power of the gospel and the dynamite of God's word, it reaches home into the hearts of a sinner like it did me one day, and arrest that sinner and bring him before the judgment seat of our blessed Lord. Be judge of our sins and clear the slate with him. But it's the preaching of the gospel. Now, that's the way the Lord uses, like He did this morning. Preaching the word. Dynamite behind the word. And I've heard in different instances where the Lord took it home to some hearts. Now, I didn't know who it would go to. The Lord just gave me a message to preach. And it's amazing how the Holy Spirit can take that and direct it to those that it's intended for. And I praise the Lord for that. And that's the reason why I just don't like, I wouldn't want to stand up here if I knew the Holy Spirit was not leading me and indwelling me and putting dynamite in the Word of God, the gospel, to deal in the heart of a sinner, to bring that sinner out of their hiding place and where they're living, and deliver that sinner from his sin, from his old sin nature, deliver him. But it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. Oh, praise the Lord. I think of Dr. Copeland quite a bit when I come across that. And he'll tell you he had to destroy his wisdom, that he would come just like a little child unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he destroys the wisdom of the wise. And there's lots of people that are wise today. They think they know it all. They read. They study. We have science that those men in science and women in science, they think they can captivate all of the wisdom of this world. They have it in their hands, and they can find God in science. But if they can't find him, then the excuse is, well, he's not to be found. No, he's not. That's the reason why God has destroyed the wisdom of this world. Your own wisdom, your own learning, your own way of salvation, all of your thoughts, all of the intents of your heart, he's got to destroy that in order to teach you his wisdom. The wisdom that cometh from above. So it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. Well, let's go further. And will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Now, where is the wise? All right, the gospel confronts that individual. Where is the wise? Where is the wise? The gospel confronts that individual. Where is the wise? Ask the question. Can man's wisdom stand up against the wisdom of God, against the power of God, the dynamite of God, the dynamite of the gospel? Where is the wise? Bring him forth. Bring him forth. And they all have to fall before the gospel. They all have to crumble before the dynamite of God's word. It all has to be destroyed, the wisdom of the wise. He that thinketh that he's wise in his own eyes, he just fools himself. So he destroys the wisdom of the wise. All right? Let wisdom come before him. Let the wise men come before him. All right? Now, where is the disputer of this age or of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Brother Pettigo sent us a tape. I enjoyed listening to it. And for a man who doesn't know how to read or write, that man has learned wisdom. That man learned wisdom from God. And he just can preach and quote scriptures what God has taught him and has written across in his heart and mind. It surprised you. It put the learned man of this world to shame. They wouldn't know how to answer. They certainly wouldn't, a man like that. Any believer has a testimony. If you in the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't care how much wisdom an individual might have, how much learned an individual might have, If you give your testimony for the hope that's within you, if he's not on Christ in Christ, you'll confound that individual. He'll go away. I don't understand. Why? God has put to naught the wisdom of this world by the testimony of a poor, ignorant fool like me and like you. And like our pastor and others, give the testimony of saving grace. Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. And no wonder they can't find him. No wonder. The word of God is the wisdom in the mind of God. And no wonder when an individual throws overboard the word of God, the Bible, then he has to search other places. And then he comes to the conclusion, no God. It's foolishness to him. But I find that when you go to the Word of God, herein is the wisdom of God, the righteousness of God by faith in Christ. Herein is where a poor sinner or an intellect or anyone can find wisdom in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, one of the apostles tells us that in Christ, in the Lord Jesus Christ, is the full sum of wisdom. He is our wisdom. He is our righteousness. He is our sanctification. He is our redemption. We are complete in Christ. We want wisdom. We have it. There he is. Christ is our wisdom. We want sanctification. We have it. There is Christ, our sanctification. We want redemption. He is the Redeemer. He has redeemed us with his own precious blood. And one day he's going to redeem us from this sin-cursed world when he comes to take us out into glory with him. Yes, he's everything to the heart of the born-again believer. Now look what it says there. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. And if you're seeking the Lord Jesus Christ any place else but through the Word, you'll never find him. Yes, some will say you'll find him here. You'll find him there. Come see. You'll find him in our church. Or you'll find him by going through this experience. And I wonder if so many of you are not trying to type your experience and your salvation based upon somebody else's experience. The Lord has delivered you from all that because you are resting on somebody else's wisdom, somebody else's is salvation, somebody else's faith, somebody else's light. The Lord has to deliver you from all of that. He's going to save you as he wants to save you, and that fits your own particular case. He may never save you like anybody else. He'll save you as the sinner. And you must look to him as the sinner, as if no one else has ever existed. And you find wisdom along the way, as the Holy Spirit will teach you. He'll give you wisdom. He'll show you wisdom. And for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Now, man's wisdom cannot find him. Man's wisdom is depraved, it's sinful, as his whole nature is. So therefore, he cannot find God by his own wisdom. He needs that wisdom that cometh from above. And to the believer, If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Wisdom to discern, wisdom to speak, wisdom to know when to keep our mouth shut, wisdom to know when to open it. Wisdom. And that's what we need, is wisdom. Wisdom for duty, for service. Not wisdom for salvation. Christ is our wisdom. He is our salvation. But wisdom for service. Wisdom to labor with. Wisdom to discern. Wisdom to know when there's error and when there's truth, as so many are being put to the test. I know a dear lady called me yesterday and telling me how someone called her and began to criticize her and criticize this ministry. And she just as tenderly gave her a testimony to her, told her how much she loved her. She used wisdom. Now we need wisdom. Now let's go on now. But it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Through the foolishness of preaching. Now it doesn't mean we're preaching a foolish gospel, but it's using such individuals like me and like someone else and what the world calls foolishness to bring God's message. So, but that's the way he's appointed it, that by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And that's the way God got a hold of my heart, is through the preaching of the word, the preaching of the cross, the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's to the world is foolishness, but it's the power of God, it's the dynamite of God that goes down deep into the heart of that sinner and brings that sinner forth in all of his sins, in all of his unrighteous state, in all of his worldly wisdom, and brings him forth and changes that individual into a living child of the living God by the wisdom of God, the preaching of the gospel. Oh, I praise the Lord for that. Let us never cease to preach this gospel. It is the power of God and the salvation unto those that believe. The Jews require a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. Now, Paul knew all about that. Paul knew what it meant to have worldly wisdom, intellectual. He had schoolings. He knew the law. He boasted the fact he kept the law. He had all that worldly wisdom, and Paul knew what he was talking about here. He says, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block. And Paul says, you know, one day Christ was a stumbling block in my path. He recollected back in the times when he was putting everybody in jail that spoke of that way, putting his stamp of approval upon the imprisonment. The one that held the coat of those that stoned Stephen, he witnessed all of that. But he says, we preach crucified unto the Jews a stumbling block. I kept stumbling over that. I kept stumbling over Christ. I just couldn't stand it. I kept stumbling over it, because it was going contrary to what I believe, the wisdom I have, and all my learning, and all my intellect, and all my striving, and my praying, and my religious life. I kept stumbling over Christ, over Christ. And that's what the world is stumbling over today, over Christ, over Him. Because they knew to surrender to Christ, to surrender to the wisdom of God, that by the foolishness of that preaching, that meant they have to lose all of that worldly wisdom, all of that worldly pride, all of that self-esteem, and lose it all for Christ. And sinner, you got to lose it all for Christ. You got to give it up, give up all for Christ. You got to surrender your home, your family, your loved ones. You've got to just let them go out of your heart and your life. Before Christ comes in, I had it to do, and I constantly have it to do, and so will you if you ever get saved. There's no use beating around the bush. There's no use pity-patting. Oh, I want to be saved. Pray for me. I want to be saved. You're going to give up everything you've got. You're going to let go of everything. Every idol of the heart you have to put to death. And the Holy Spirit is going to put it to death before the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, comes in to dwell. And that's what it means, that old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. But we preach Christ crucified. Christ crucified for the sinner. Christ crucified. Oh, sinner, if you can only behold the Lamb of God. Look up to Him. Behold Him, the crucified Lord. Unto the Jews, a stumbling block. You mean to tell me I got to give up everything to go to Christ, to come to Christ? Yes, sinner. Yes, you have. You can't have Christ and any other idol in your heart. You just can't do it. Unless you forsake all that you have. He said, you cannot be my disciple. That means everything, what you have. Now, you kind of ask yourself that question. Now, what do I have? Why is Christ constantly a stumbling block before Him? Why is it that I don't know Him? Why is it that I can't come to Him? Well, look at it, sinner, and face it. Why is it? It's because you've got other things that you have set up, and Christ has become a stumbling block. And may the Lord expose that to you tonight and show you where you're living and how you have allowed that thing to just keep you at a standstill to where you can't go any further. But we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews, a stumbling block, and unto the Gentiles, foolishness, but unto them who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. That's what we preach. Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. That's why. I mean, if you want to learn wisdom, you come to Christ. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. You know, men think there's somebody coming, don't they? But the Bible tells us that the weakness of God is stronger than man. Man makes a fool of themselves. Just like this individual called me yesterday. What a fool he is. He thinks he's somebody come. He puffs himself up and strides and he dances around. He ha 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 like a laughing jackass. But he don't know. He just doesn't know that the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. You and I are like grasshoppers in the sight of God. Oh, may there be no occasion in your heart to rise up against the living God. It won't do you any good. It won't do you any good. You know, you may resist so long, you might resist yourself into hell. You might fight the Lord so long, you'll fight your way into hell. You go to hell because of your own choice, because you won't turn to the Lord. You go to hell because of your family. You may be your daughter or your son. You'll go to hell over them rather than give them up. You'll go to hell over your job, over your money. A sinner can go to hell almost over anything. Think about that, huh? Think about it and get honest with the Lord. And then we can go on and on. Oh, those next scriptures there, they're precious. It'll do you good to read them. See your calling, brethren. Take in consideration who it is that calls you, that's calling you. Think about all in that call. Who is it that's calling me? Calling me to what? Who is it that called me? He says now, see your calling, brethren. It's the greatest thing in the world when God calls you to salvation. And we know there's a general call that just goes out from here throughout the nation. And people don't pay much attention to that, but there's an effectual call that the Holy Spirit sends home to His people and roots them out, calls them. Just like that call that came to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, come down. That was effectual. Come down, Zacchaeus. I'm going to dwell in your house today. Come down. I was way down in Marrera. 20 years ago, the Lord passed by. He had to go through Marrera to root me out of that place, to call me by His grace. I resisted many a call. I used to get the messages. They didn't mean much to me. I'd throw them in a wastebasket. I used to hear the radio messages. Not in contempt, not with a rebellious spirit, but it was just something that just didn't interest me. I turned it off. Just those general calls, over and over again. Oh, the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. The long suffering of our God is salvation. Patient with the sinner. But there came a time I couldn't turn down it no more. God put His hooks in my jaw, and He began to draw me unto Him. And by His grace, brought me down the way of grace. I've seen others come and go when God awakened me. I wondered, what has happened? What's wrong? Aren't people concerned about their soul? People have been on the preaching of the gospel here in the Sunday school. And I would encourage them, come on in with me. Let's go hear the message. Let's go. Let's go to Sunday school. Well, I'll be in a little while. They had to stay outside to smoke their cigarette a little while. And I had to think about, what in the world's wrong? Don't these people, are they saved? Or don't they want to get saved? I said, God's dealing with my heart for salvation. Don't they want to be saved? But God was dealing with me, and I had to let them go. I had to forget them. God was calling me to salvation. And that was back in 1952. Brought me down the way of grace, dealing with my heart, taking this away from me, breaking me off of this, delivering me from this, separate me from this, from everything, and left me just crying after him. I wanted him. I wanted Christ. I wanted him. I wanted him. And do you know, God never teases a sinner. God never teases a sinner. And I know that over and over again, I used to say, I would that I knew him. I would that I could find him. He is my hope. There's no other hope. He took everything away from me. There was no other one I wanted. Longing, thirsting, I put myself in every service I possibly could put myself in, every prayer service, with the one thought that maybe he'll have mercy upon me now. Maybe he'll reveal himself to me now. Maybe he will show mercy unto me now, over and over again. Yes, see your calling, brethren. Make your calling and election sure, for in this way you will not fail. And go back and go over the grounds when the Lord awakened you. See your calling, brethren. I wasn't a wise individual. I wasn't smart. I was ignorant as they come. But in grace, God taught me wisdom. God taught me his word. God taught me the way of salvation, and he taught it to me thoroughly, and I learned it by his grace. And that's the reason why the individual who's ever been saved, ever been delivered, they know whom they have believed. They know that Christ was revealed to their heart. And they're not ashamed of him. And I know also this. During that period of time when God was dealing with my heart, there was times of distress. There was times when I thought the Lord left me, went off from me. There was times when I thought I'd never get saved. It seemed the gap got wider and wider. And I know I used to go to the pastor and explain my condition unto him. He understood it. Nothing he could do to help me. But just to say, look to the Lord. Look to Christ. Look to the Lord. Look to Christ. And I tell you, I know I have sinners coming up here talking to me, asking me to pray for them. And like when I'm asking me this morning, pray for me. The Lord has dealt with my heart. Pray for me. And all I can say is, you pray. Huh? You pray. You look to the Lord. You look to Christ. I can't help you. But I can point you to the Lamb of God, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the pastor continually did for me over and over again. Pointed me to Christ. To Christ. Look to Christ. I called him on the phone. Look to Christ. Herman, look to Christ. Look to him. There was a time I couldn't look. But then there came the time I could look. And I know back in Marrera, in September of 52, I know every now and then the pastor would see me. Herman, have you gotten to the Lord yet? I don't know, Pastor.
I'm so confused. I'm so mixed up. I just don't know. And all alcoholics say a thing. Well, just that, I want to know him. I want to know him. I want to know him. And then one morning, in 1952, September the 17th, just as clear as the bell, I happened to be in my backyard. I was longing, crying. Then there was a stillness. There was the quietness of my heart. What's happened? What's happened? Burden's gone. Deliverance has come. Christ is mine. My hope, my salvation, my joy. And I know I had to go in the home. I got my Bible, and I began to sit down, read, meditate. I said, it's Christ. It's Him. It's Him. My Redeemer. My deliverer, He's delivered me. I began to read the scriptures, and that 107th Psalms came to me. Oh, Satan has fought me through the years with that. Let me tell you something. What he's told me. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endured forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of his enemy. And brother, when he did that, when he delivered me from the hands of my enemy, he has redeemed me, and my enemy couldn't touch me. That's deliverance. From Satan's territory, deliverance from my sins, deliver me from my guilt, from the penalty. Brother, I'm telling you, the born-again believer, no wonder he's always praising the Lord. Let the redeemed say so, and I'm going to say so, and I've been saying so since then. And I've learned more now. I've learned to say it a little bit better than I used to. I've learned to get out and stand a little bit better. I've learned to be just a little bit more bold than I used to. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grounded and rooted in the love of God. See, you're calling, brethren. That wasn't man calling me. That wasn't man that burdened my heart and my sins and all my unbelief. And it wasn't man, there wasn't man that delivered me. And there's no individual that can awaken a sinner or that can bring a sinner to Christ, but only the Holy Spirit. I trusted my life completely in the hands of the Holy Spirit when He was dealing with me. He knew the way. I didn't. But He brought me the way, the way of grace. And I rejoice and praise the Lord for it. Now, has the Lord brought you along the way of grace? Did there come a time of deliverance in your heart, in your life? And it was not an experience. It was not an experience, a religious experience. It's Christ and Him, crucified, buried, and risen, exalted in your heart. And that's the reason why you can proclaim that gospel. It's dynamite. And may the Lord do it to your heart, that you may have reality in that heart, the dynamite of God's word. And I'll close with those thoughts. I didn't know what the Lord had in store for us tonight, but that's his message, and I praise him for it. And I also appreciate all that's been done today. I don't rejoice over being appointed pastor. I praise the Lord. He's humbled me before him. I could accept it no other way. It was God's choice. Everything now would be God's choice. And I'm going to praise him for it. The message he gives to our heart is going to be God's message. Be God's choice. Because he knows what his people need. He knows what sinners need. I praise the Lord that I was God's choice in salvation. And now I can say with the Apostle Paul, he called me into the ministry. If it's just for a week or 2 weeks, I praise the Lord for it. And may God's blessings rest upon you. Thank you for being with us and listening to us tonight. Listening to the Word of God. Let's stand. Brother Lessinger, lead our hearts in closing prayer, if you please.